We worry about things we cannot control. We worry about our food and our clothes, about our houses and how we fit into society. But we're forgetting God's role in our lives and our role in depending on God.
That's the Reverend Dr. Gil Watson, and today he brings you a powerful message of faith and hope. I'm Peter Wallace. This is Day One.
Welcome to Day One, the weekly program that brings you outstanding preachers from America's mainline Protestant churches, sharing insight and inspiration from God's Word for your life. Now to introduce this week's preacher, here's our host, Peter Wallace.
Thanks, Sherry. Today we're delighted to have with us the Reverend Dr. G. Gil Watson, Senior Pastor of Northside Church, a United Methodist congregation in Atlanta, Georgia. Gil is a graduate of Oglethorpe University, where he now serves on the Board of Trustees and occasionally teaches. He earned a Master of Divinity degree from Candler School of Theology at Emory University in Atlanta and a Doctor of Ministry degree from McCormick Seminary in Chicago. Before coming to Northside in 1994, he served churches in Decatur, LaGrange, Lithonia, and Hiram in the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church. Gil, thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Peter. It's a pleasure.
Introduce us to Northside. What sort of people do you minister to, and what are they up to?
Ah, it's a wonderful place. It was my dream congregation. I grew up in Atlanta, born and reared in Atlanta, five generations of Atlantans. And when I was first consecrated to preach and given my license, I was in the district where North Georgia has divided itself into districts. The Northside Church was in the district I grew up in. And so I knelt at their altar as a 20 or 21-year-old guy and had the district superintendent lay hands on me, and I looked up at the altar and I said to God, God, if there's any way someday I could ever be the pastor of this church, I would love that. You should be careful what you pray for, because you get it. And then in 1994, I became the pastor of Northside. Northside is on the north side of Atlanta, in the Buckhead area of Atlanta. And that's a rather upper-middle-class section of Atlanta. Has a great, diverse congregation from all ages and sizes and shapes. We serve a part of Cobb County, which is an area of the neighboring part of Atlanta, as well as Atlanta proper itself in the Buckhead area. And we have ministries from all ages. Our recreation program has 2,500 children and their parents involved in the course of a year. And that's probably our greatest missionary work, because 70% of those young people are not members of our church. And then we have missions around the world and a really special mission project that we do in Atlanta every year. It's called MAP. And for the last, 7 or 8 years, we have roofed houses for the underprivileged, mostly elderly. And in the communities of which we are part, so many folks have had houses that the roofs leak and they cannot afford to repair their roofs. So we have roofed their houses, about 300 young people and about 200 adults, and some churches going in with us, spending the whole week in Northside Church in every room set up in a different kind of a sleeping arrangement, and having to arrange food and transportation and teaching young people how to roof a house is an interesting endeavor. But they enjoy doing it. Their first endeavor with that was, I think, humorous, because my first youth minister had them build the roof in the youth part of our church, in a rather large youth assembly room. And then he had them roof it in the room. And I said to him, how are you going to get this out of here? He said, oh, I didn't think of that. I said, well, did it ever dawn on you that you don't roof indoors? You had the whole parking lot. He said, yes, Dr. Watson, but it was hot out there. I said, son, you're not going to be roofing in the cool and air conditioning. I think you better rebuild this thing out in the parking lot and learn that you're going to have to be in the heat. Mm. So their first discovery of roofing was, it's a hot job.
And you have to do it outdoors.
And it is outdoors.
Well, so you've been at Northside for about 17 years.
That's
now.
Right. Mm-hmm.
What are some of the ministry lessons you've learned in leading such a large and thriving congregation?
It is thriving. I think I've learned that every single person has needs. And we fool ourselves just because we may come from an affluent area of thinking that we do not have the same needs as people in other places. And Northside Church is a church that cares about people of all ages and all needs and provides outstanding work. We have an orphanage that we built and founded in India. We have mission projects that we go to and we help fund around the world. We have missions at home. We teach our children to learn to share from the very beginning. And even our recreation program is centered around remembering that everybody plays a part of a team. So it's the lessons I think they've learned in life and that I want us to learn is that we all are in this world together, and all of us have to work together to make it a better place.
Gil, there's a popular syndicated columnist in Georgia in the Southeast, Dick Yarborough, who mentions you frequently in his column and calls you the world's greatest preacher. How do you plead?
I think you have to know who my friends are in life. And it's nice to have prejudiced friends.
But you have a passion for preaching.
I do love preaching. I've felt I was supposed to be a preacher from the time I was a little boy. And I'm very grateful that God has used me, and I'm very humbled. And I'm very appreciative to Dick Yarborough, who calls me the world's greatest preacher. And I can accept that tongue-in-cheek with a lot of appreciation and humility.
Well, your sermon today focuses on some of Jesus' key teachings from Matthew chapter 6. Would you read the text for us?
Sure, be glad to. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to the span of your life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. Therefore do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today.
Gil, Jesus is known for teaching in stories and parables, but in this case, he's rather straightforward. What do you make of his style of teaching here?
Oh, I think it's the same thing, because he's walking through the grass, the Sea of Galilee. He's looking down at the green grass and seeing the little lilies of the valley, we call them, but they're really lilies of the field. They're wildflowers. And he uses those as an illustration. They're just a natural illustration. He hears the birds or perhaps sees them and says, see the birds or hear the birds. They neither sow nor reap and gather in barns. So he uses in this very story, though it is very straightforward, that which is around them to weave his story together to tell them that it is right now. Be a part of the kingdom of God.
Your sermon is entitled, Get Your Thinking Right. Gil, thank you for being with us.
Thank you.
And if you'd like to listen to today's program with Gil Watson again, read the sermon transcript, or watch our video conversation, please visit our website at dayone.org.
Now, here's the president of Day One, the Reverend Canon Lewis Schudig. with an important message.
Our Day One program is reaching more and more people every week. As the only national weekly ecumenical program of the mainline churches, we are proud that we can carry out this ministry, which we do as an independent organization, sustained by your financial contributions. Each program costs $5,000 to produce and distribute. So we want to ask you once again to consider giving today one as a portion of your tithe. We love being able to bring you these outstanding preachers each week. So make an offering today to ensure our continued service to you and to the proclamation of the gospel. Send your gift to Day 1, 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. That's 644 West Peachtree Street, Suite 300, Atlanta, Georgia, 30308. Or by giving online at dayone.org. Thank you for being part of our Day One family.
Jesus had a unique way of teaching and using his surroundings to illustrate his point. He could then bring those who were listening more in line with his teachings. In this passage that I read today, if you use your imagination, you can see that it is springtime in the Galilee. Jesus had no rows of chairs to set up or a podium from which to preach, so he walked among the crowd as they sat on the ground and listened. His eye contact would seek out the people's faces. He would lift up some seemingly unimportant illustration and from the locale expound on it. We know it's spring because only in the springtime is the grass green. Only in the springtime do the wildflowers burst up as though they were a display of colors in a carpet of green. The pale pink, purple, and white anemones bloom in proliferation. The red poppies are stunning and regal as they protrude from the landscape, bringing a display that is utterly vibrant. Walking among the grass and looking down, he sees the flowers. They stand out, and it is from them he draws an illustration. He can see the flowers, he can hear the birds, and they provide him with the food for thought. He goes on to talk about worry amidst all of these things that he sees and they see and they are talking about. We worry about the things in our lives we cannot see. And yet faith, according to St. Augustine, is believing what you cannot see. And the reward of faith is seeing what you have believed. Worry is the optimum word. Worry and anxiety are synonymous. And anxiety is the curse of the 21st century. We worry about things we cannot control, and sometimes we worry about not being able to just be in control. Many times we worry just for the sake of worrying. To bring our thoughts into perspective, Jesus uses his listeners and looks around. As he looks on the ground, he sees those little flowers, and he hears the birds. The birds can't reap or sow, but God provides for them. They still have to work for their food, but it is there. If they seek it, then they find it. The flowers of the field, the lilies, not those little lilies of the valley that we sometimes think of, but the flowers, the wildflowers, especially the red poppies, brilliantly colorful. They are the color of King Solomon's robes, radiant and stunning. We worry about our food and our clothes. We worry about our houses and how we fit into society. But we're forgetting God's role in our lives and our role in depending on God. Getting our thinking right is what is important in life. After all, both John the Baptist and Jesus began their preaching ministries with the word repent. And what does it mean to repent but to develop a new way of thinking? To turn from your old way of thinking and devote yourself to kingdom thinking. The answer lies first in striving for the kingdom of God. A kingdom not of power, not of might, but a kingdom of mercy, justice, and grace. It's a kingdom of forgiveness and love, where prejudice is unheard of and pride and conceit, they just plain do not exist. It's a kingdom where greed is absent. We find ourselves striving to prepare for the future, for tomorrow, without really living in the present. Yet the present determines how we plan for our future and how we profit from the mistakes of the past. It's a wonderful illustration found in Dr. Spencer Johnson's little book, The Present. The Present is the story of a little boy and an old man and a mentoring relationship. The little boy is riding his bicycle. The old man is sitting on a swing on a front porch, and his very countenance attracts the little boy's attention. The little boy sees the old man, and he turns his bicycle around after 2 or 3 days of the old man smiling and greeting him. He says, "Old man, why are you so happy?" And the old man smiles and says, "It's because I have the present." "Wow," said the little boy, "I love presents. Christmas presents, birthday presents, all kinds of presents, anytime. How can I get this present?" "Well, you really already have it." "I already have it," said the little boy. "I don't have any presents." "Yes, you already have it. But once you get the present, everything else falls into perspective." The little boy grows to be a teenager, and as a teenager, the old man and the little boy have become friends. He's watched him play baseball. He's watched him on his football team. And as a teenager, the young man asked the old man, "What about this present you have always talked about?" He said, "Well, a present is the greatest gift you can ever have. But I want this present. I want you to give me this present." "I can't give you the present. You have the present all by yourself. And once you have the present, everything else falls into perspective." "Well, is it like a magic wand where you wave your hand and everything just comes out as magic special?" "No, it's not like a magic wand. The present is magical, though, because once you get it, everything else falls into perspective." "Well, is it like a magic carpet that you ride on and you can get anywhere you want to go and do anything you want to do?" "Well, no, it's not like that at all. But once you have the present, you're content to be right where you are." And the young man becomes a working man, graduating from college, and goes back to that old man with the present. "I think I finally got it. The present is, it's just right now, right? It's not a gift or anything." And the man said, "Yes, you're right. It's right now. It's enjoying the moment now. It's being real now. It's authentic now. It's being in the present." "Well, now I can go back to my job because things really weren't working out well." And he returned to his work. He came back a few years later and said, "You know, I'm just at a plateau. Nothing is happening. And I'm doing the present. I'm living the present." The old man said, "Yes, but you have forgotten to profit from your mistakes of the past. Only when you do that can you really live the present at its best." So he went back and he practiced and he remembered his mistakes and he lived in the present. And after a few more years, he was married, he had children. He came back, he said, "You know, I can't even get a promotion. I'm doing great work, they recognize it, but I can't get a promotion." The old man said, "You're doing everything right. You have the present. You're enjoying the present. You're even profiting from the mistakes of your past, but you don't have a plan for your future. You need a purpose and a meaning. Write it down, think about it, and work every day to make your plan come true." And so the man went back to work, and all of a sudden his whole future changed because he had a purpose and a meaning. And as would happen, the old man died. And now the middle-aged man returned to the funeral to discover that from the wealthiest to the poorest, everyone was in attendance at the funeral. The old man had befriended lots of people along the way. He had shared the successes of his life, which had been very successful in business, with how to live and how other people ought to live. Boys and girls, children, old people, even the mayor of the town. And after the funeral, the man went back to the old man's house, which now was vacant, the swing still sitting where it sat, and he sat on the swing and began to swing back and forth and think, "Wow, that man's life was so purposeful. It was so meaningful." Down the street, the neighborhood had changed, but a new family had moved in with a little 6-year-old girl, and she was on her tricycle, and she was riding by. And as she rode by, she looked up at the man sitting in the swing, and she said, "Wow, old man." And he turned and looked. He said, "Yes." She said, "You look so happy. Why are you so happy?" And he said, "Oh, darling, it's because I have the present." "Wow," she said, "I love presents, Christmas presents and birthday presents and all kinds of presents. Can you help me get that present?" And the truth of the matter is for all of us, it is the present well lived, profiting from the mistakes of our past and with a purposeful future, that we are able to strive for the kingdom of God. God knows our needs before we ever ask them. God hears our wants. When our wants are shaped into God's will, then we begin to think about our future in the kingdom. How much time do we spend worrying about things that never happen? How much energy do we spend correcting our children so that their behavior will be noticed and affirmed by others? In a world where children are abused and deserted, does it really matter what name brand of clothes we wear? In a world many times where people don't even know the people next door or down the street, is it important what those people think about the vehicles that we drive? In a world where hurt is real and not being accepted by one's peer group poisons our children's self-image, does it really matter if we are exhibiting the newest trends? In a world where other people influence our children more than we do, shouldn't we strengthen our family by being a part of the kingdom of God? Maybe we need to notice the world right outside our door or inside our house and not try to imitate the actions of the world. After all, Jesus reminds us, strive first for the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. Not to worry, then, about tomorrow, for tomorrow will always bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today, and today well lived is what God wants us all to do. Let us pray. Great God, I thank you for today, for this moment, for this present that we have. The present is a gift from you that each of us in our lives must use to its very best. Help us to seek first your kingdom right now in the present and to fill our lives with kingdom thoughts so that every today and every tomorrow is better because our today has been lived well. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now, Gil Watson shares some final reflections on this week's message with our host, Peter Wallace.
Gil, you pointed out that anxiety is the curse of the 21st century, but I find some comfort in the fact that people in Jesus' time apparently worried so much about even surviving, too, that Jesus had to encourage them in this way. Is it simply human nature to worry, no matter what our circumstances might be?
I think it is, but I think in today's world, we worry about the things that were even of less consequence.
And both John the Baptist and Jesus, you said, began their preaching ministries with the word repent. And that's kind of an old-fashioned church word these days, but it is really a very positive verb, isn't it?
It's not only a positive verb, but if you think about what it really means change your way of thinking. And I think I wanted to make a transition that helped us see that repent is still a good word. We need to repent. We need to change our way of thinking.
So how do we do that?
And I think the way we do that is by how we think about the present and living now for God. And what we do now, the opportunities we use now to serve and to love, to illustrate it by the very living of our lives in the present. And not so much seek what are we going to do tomorrow or worry about what we did yesterday.
And you said the answer to overcoming worry lies first in seeking the kingdom of God, a kingdom of mercy, justice, and grace, of forgiveness and love. What are some specific ways that we in our congregations can seek this reign of God?
I think it's about relationships. I think the whole kingdom is about relationships. I think that's where they lost their vision in the first place. They thought that the whole of the kingdom of God was going to be some new military reign, not ever anticipating that it was a way of thinking, a way of changing your mind and your heart so that everybody had equal value and that everybody was treated with justice and with mercy. And mercy and justice cannot be prejudiced. They have to be offered freely from my heart because we have a heart that is anchored in God's love.
Gil, what's the one thing you hope our listeners will keep in mind from your sermon this week?
That each day as they get up, they remember it's a new day. And how am I going to today, with purpose, live today the very best I can for God? What opportunities will I look for today? How will I serve today? How will I do something good for Jesus today? And if we did that every day, and we looked for an opportunity every day and planned every day to do one thing for God that day, think of what our whole lives would be.
Gil Watson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you.
The Day Festival of Homiletics is the acclaimed online Protestant church that draws hundreds of preachers from across North America and beyond. And for the seventh year, our program is recorded and edited by Donald Jones. And this year's festival is May 16th through the 20th in Minneapolis, Minnesota.
I'm Sherry Miller wishing you all God's blessings.
We hope you'll encourage the preachers you know to attend.
And forever.
They'll benefit greatly from the sermons, lectures, and worship services with some of the best known and most admired preachers of our time, many of whom you've heard on day one. For more information about this extraordinary conference, visit dayone.org and click on the link to the Festival of Homiletics.